What's up, man? I'm on.
Yo, you there?
I'm there. What's up?
And what's up? I was making sure my audio was connected and my mic was all good to go. What you been up to, B?
Man,
Jesus
I've been
Christ.
trying to get back into shape, man. I look like a fucking doughboy with abs. Like, I still have my abs, but I don't have the right. They're not hard. Still there, so I'm getting back in shape for spring break. You know how that
For
goes.
some reason, that phrase does not make any sense. I need to get back in shape because I look like a doughboy with abs. I'm pretty sure there's not been one doughboy in history with a set of abs on them. Oh, God.
I look like right now Nate Diaz got ripped.
All right. All right. That's all right. Yeah, that's. All right. I can imagine that now.
Hard to picture.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, for people who know what Nate Diaz looks like, that's, I guess that's pretty good comparison. So, man, so you have what do you got going on today? You have a test going on today or what?
No, today I just got out of class, but I've been going to just more trainings for fire department stuff, restarting the new year, the
Okay.
new test. So I'm just going to all the trainings to just get a better score. That's basically it.
All
Yep.
right. Well, that
Yeah, yeah.
works. So, you've been keeping up with the UFC and some of the fights that are going on?
Oh, dude. After we did our first podcast, I started my own, and I haven't done a lot of episodes, but I'm on top of
Sheesh.
that shit.
Well,
Yeah.
plug it. What's the name of it, son?
Go check out Get Me My Gloves podcast.
Get Me My Gloves. I like that name. That's not bad, son.
Yeah.
That's not
Yeah.
bad.
Get Me My Gloves.
All right, let's go.
But yeah, man, I'm excited for this, for all this shit, but I mean, this weekend, dude.
It's a big one.
Oh. And besides UFC, I'm a little pissed off still at DAZN.
Yeah,
Yeah,
DAZN.
the Bellator card's on DAZN. I'm not going to see that one, but
Yeah.
that's a hell of a card too.
So let's talk about the UFC one coming up this weekend. This Francis Ngannou and Cain Velasquez fight. What do you think about that matchup right there?
So, I know in his last outing, Francis Ngannou once again starched Curtis Blaydes in his rematch. He's a JUCO wrestling national champion. Didn't matter. Guess what? I don't give up. Fuck what he did to Curtis Blaydes. This is Cain Velasquez, dude. We're talking about legends. We're talking about championship. You
Yep.
saw what Stipe did to
That's
him.
brown
That's what
pride right there,
champions
baby.
do.
Brown
Brown pride,
pride.
yes, sir. It doesn't matter what Curtis Blaydes couldn't do. He's not a champion. You know, no flack on him. He's a hell of a fighter. But I mean, I'm excited to see the return of Cain, dude. He's coming back. He'll have that belt.
So you're picking Kane in this one, you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah, how
I
about you?
don't know about this one, man. The last time he fought was in 2016,
Travis Brown.
Travis Brown, UFC 200, and then before that it was 2014 when he fought.
Lot of layoffs.
So it's a
Long.
lot of laughs. I don't know, man. I just think Father Time is gonna touch this man right on the chin.
It's very possible.
I don't know. I don't see this one going. I think Francis got his confidence back after fighting another wrestler and doing good. And like you said, Curtis Blaydes, he's not a world champ, but he has some wrestling skills. But I don't know. That one's also kind of hard to call because he's already beaten Curtis, so he kind of might have that confidence in the back of his head, like I've already starched this
Yeah.
dude once. So I don't know. It's a hard one to call, but I think I'm gonna stick with the young gun.
That's why we love fighting.
The Cameroon, well, he's from Cameroon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cameroon missile is what I'm sticking with. The
Okay.
Predator. So yeah, I
Okay.
got the Predator in this one, but then the,
By knockout, of course,
yeah,
I'm
I
sure.
got knockout. I don't
Yeah.
think this one's going past 2 rounds. Whoever wins, I don't think it's going past two. But the co-main event, that's a damn good fight too. You got
I love Paul
Paul
Felder.
Felder and James Vick. James Vick, even though he lost his last one, he's on a freaking tear.
Who do you got?
I don't know. I think I'm gonna stick with James Vick on this one though.
Interesting.
Paul Felder, he's a vet, but I like James Vick in this matchup. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
I'm surprised by that. Now, real quick, I should say I'm picking Kane by TKO or KO by ground and pound.
Okay.
Whether that comes from hurting Ngannou, putting him down, and then ground and pound, or whether it comes from his chain wrestling, takedown, and then ground and pound, I'm going ground and pound Kane.
Okay.
Now to co-main, I got to oppose you again there. I'm going Paul Felder. I love Paul Felder. I think he's a very high fight IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, James Vick is very long, very dangerous.
Very long.
I look at how easily Gaethje disposed of him.
Yeah.
And I know it's a different style of fighting than Felder.
Yeah.
Styles make fight. Felder's coming in there pissed the fuck off because he's had so many long layoffs. He had his arm broken, and then this fight mm-hmm. got pushed back because of the whole changing of. Like, dude, and he lost his ranking because he felt like he wasted time at welterweight yeah. there. I think he's coming in with a vengeance. And, like, man, I got Paul Felder finishing him by some form of KO.
Okay, I'm not mad at yeah. that. I'm not mad at that at all. I'm trying to look at the odds, but I uh-huh. can't find it. But, no, James Vick is very long. 76-inch reach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got some reach on him.
He's huge. He's a huge lightweight. He's the biggest lightweight
yeah.
there is, I think.
So no, I don't blame you on that one. I don't know, man. I don't know. It just all depends on whether Paul Felder can get on the inside and do some damage, you know. So yeah. We'll see. We'll see with that one. But okay, let's see what the next matchup. I'm not too sure, but go ahead. What were you gonna say, Bull?
I just want to tell you one thing. I'm looking real quick because I'm on the card too.
Mm-hmm.
I need to expand it. There it is. So. There's a man on this card that's not very well known that I'm very fond of
mm-hmm.
his last outing.
Yep.
His name is Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman, and he reminds me a lot of Paul Felder.
Okay.
Reminds me his style, his explosiveness, the way he looks, his athleticism. I mean, he reminds me exactly of Paul Felder. He's fighting Nick Lentz, who's
yeah.
no joke. So I would love to eventually. I don't mean there's no. They're not in the same. You know, level of rankings or popularity right now, but I would love to see them two fight eventually because they seem like very
mm-hmm.
similar fighters to me.
Yeah.
Scott Holtzman, like, came out and beat, like, a 15-1 fighter in his last outing. I don't remember his name, but he was just very impressive to me and won by knockout with elbows on the ground. And he was very powerful. And Paul Felder's known for his elbows.
Yeah, I think
well.
We watched that fight. He was destroying the dude on the bottom with his elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he
was.
Yeah,
I just impressive. Remember him just from that alone. The man was vicious with his ground and pound. But so the next matchup going down the main card is Courtney Casey and Cynthia Calvillo. I don't know about this fight. I don't really know this Courtney Casey person.
Yeah.
8-6 record. A little salty with that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know too much about. Courtney Casey, so it's kind of hard to say. And then Cynthia Calvillo, 7-1.
Played soccer at El Paso.
Okay.
Former soccer player. I remember in one of her recent outings, she fought Michelle Watterson, and she lost to her.
Of course,
so,
yeah. They gave
so
her that
Watterson's
that test.
Tiny for the division. She's good, but she's tiny. So. And Courtney Casey's long compared to a lot of these girls, and
mm-hmm.
she couldn't beat Watterson. I know how good Calvillo is on the ground, and
yeah.
I would give it to Calvillo.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, they gave her Watterson, and Watterson kind of was being the gatekeeper there and kind of sat her down. I mean,
right.
8-6, salty record. got a kind of the GOAT record there.
Hey, and how about the GOAT asking to be released? That's hilarious.
He got released.
They finally granted him.
He's actually fighting in a bare knuckle boxing organization now.
Is he? I didn't know he's already signed.
Yeah, they already signed him to a bare knuckle boxing contract. I don't know who runs it, but it's brand new. They just had an event last weekend, so now they signed him to that. But the next fight on this one, I'm probably most excited to see this fight.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Alex Caceres, the Bruce Leroy versus Crone Gracie, baby.
I mean, I think we're on the same page on this one.
Jesus Christ.
We know who we want.
I am ready to see this fight.
I'm ready for Crone.
Yes, I don't think Alex Caceres stands a chance with his salty 14-11 record against Crone Gracie. the son of the greatest jiu-jitsu player in the world. I don't think this man stands a chance when it comes to this guy. I think Alex is going to come out and throw some spinny shit, and then Crone's going to take him down, take the back, grab the neck, and it's over for that one. It's on to the Calvillo fight.
I want to say a couple of the other Gracies in Bellator are undefeated as well. So
yeah,
at least one of them. So, Naaman Gracie, he's got a pretty extensive record, like 12-0 or greater, something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see this fight. It's his UFC debut. Obviously, he's been coming up in the rising, and he's actually beat. I mean, he's beaten some pretty high name guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the UFC vets that went to Ryzen fought some of those guys, and then now he's here. Yeah, I'm excited to see this fight, see how it goes.
Yeah,
I mean, because even though Alex Caceres has a little salty record, he's fought some of the best in the UFC. He's fought Yair Rodriguez, had a 5-round battle with him.
Oh,
so I mean, took him to the distance. So. I mean, I'm excited to see this one. See where Crone's at in his career, fighting someone young, big, tall, lanky, and a little bit different style. So I'm excited to see that one. So you have Crone winning this one too?
Yeah, I have Crone. So we disagreed on the main co-main, but we're agreeing for the rest so far.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then I'm just gonna go ahead and skip this third or this fourth fight. And then go
I don't like Brian Barberena.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
And then Andre Touchy Feely and
Touchy Feely.
The Miles Jury. Who do you got on this one, Will?
I know Miles Jury is a great record and I've seen him fight.
Mm-hmm.
He must not be that memorable to me because I don't remember much about him. Andre Feely, on the other hand, I remember him dispatching the GOAT. Remember him let's see. Miles Jury lost to Chad Mendez. I remember that recently. And then since then, against kind of, you know, probably decently dangerous guys, but not with a great name. Andre Feely, on the other hand, let me take a look at him. Just get a little refresher. Lost to Michael Johnson. Lost to Dennis Bermudez. He's fought some really tough competition. So I think both these guys are in Andre Feely's faced the tougher competition. Miles Jury has a greater amount of wins. This one's a tough call, but I'm gonna say Miles Jury.
Okay. Just based on the record. For some reason, I think Andre Feely is gonna come out with the win on this one. A 3-round decision is what it is.
Very plausible.
He's coming out with a 3-round decision coming out of Alpha Male. I think he's gonna be working this Miles Jury style in camp, and I think he's going to come out with the win. I don't think it's going to be exciting. I think he's going to come out with a decision on this one. And
is Miles Jury a ground fighter?
He's just kind of stand up. I mean, the one fight that I've seen him, he stood up the whole time. Got taken down once or twice, but got through a little scramble and then stood up the whole time. He never went for a takedown. The last fight that I saw, if I can remember him right, like you said, he's kind of like one of those dudes with the he's like plain face. It's kind of hard to remember, but
I'm not. This fight's not the. You can't have barn burners.
No, you can't. Fight, you can't. You know?
But it's not. It's probably not a bad fight.
But just, this one,
it's just you can't. Yeah. That,
so I'm. I don't know if it's the UFC trying to stack the ESPN cards or what's going on, but for the prelim main event, Jimmy motherfucking Rivera and Aljamain Sterling. God.
How
damn.
Fucking, that's a fucking fight right there.
How dare you put that on the prelims? How dare you put those guys on the prelims instead of Brian Barberena? Get the hell out of here, my guy. Come on. This one, I mean, obviously Aljamain Sterling coming off with a knee bar finish.
Submission of the year, no less.
Yes.
Amazing inverted upside down bar from freaking back mount or something like that.
Yes.
And Jimmy Rivera. Before he lost to Marlon Moraes, 20-fight win streak.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, fucking, I'm going Jimmy Rivera, but Aljamain Sterling always has as is in his name, the
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah, I got El Terror on this one. Jeez. Yeah, I think Jimmy Rivera comes out and storms this man. I think Aljamain's gonna kind of play it safe, going cool, to stay on the outside, look for a takedown here and there. But I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's gonna go in his favor because Jimmy Rivera can wrestle his ass off too. And he's got some heavy hands in those 4 ounce gloves. Yeah, I think Jimmy takes this one home pretty easily.
Just looking at his win streak and the fact that you have to lose at
Yeah.
some point. So he's gonna come back angry. I mean, Aljo's a tricky, tricky dude. He's great jiu-jitsu training out of Long Island with Chris Weidman and freaking John Donahue and all those guys.
Yep.
But
I mean, I don't know.
yeah.
I think the only way Aljamain wins that fight is if he stays on the outside, doesn't let Jimmy come in and, kind of have his dirty boxing
I
and
don't think
just
he can. Yeah, I don't think he can knock him out. I think he has to submit him.
yeah, I think he has to stay on the outside, look for the takedown, and submit him. I think that's his only way out of this one without going unconscious. Jimmy Rivera is nasty. God damn, he's nasty. He's got some heavy hands and he's quick. These 135ers are quick.
Fast, heavy
He's
fans.
quick.
Yeah.
He's got that
Love that.
Cody Garbrandt. The fight that I would like to see? Cody Garbrandt, Jimmy Rivera, sign me up. Take my goddamn money. I'm throwing $60 at you all day to see that fight. I would love to see that fight.
Yeah. How did get this assignment?
What's that
Again,
again?
how the hell did Pedro Munhoz get the assignment against Garbrandt? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if the UFC wants to make exciting fights, why not throw Jimmy at Cody? I mean, because whenever Jimmy lost, he was ranked
Yeah.
one or
And Cody's
two.
still up there because, you
So
know.
why not? Why are you gonna give? Even though Jimmy lost to Marlon, Marlon is on the rise. He just won his last fight, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I mean, why not give Cody Jimmy? I mean, if you want to see a
Yeah,
freaking
I
fight that
agree. I
everybody
agree.
wants to watch, give that man Jimmy Rivera and let's go to town.
I don't think the UFC is ever gonna give people easy fights because, you know, as Dana White always says, there's no easy fights in the UFC. However, it's no secret, Uncle Dana over here is a big, big Garbrandt fan. I mean, before he was even champion, he was hooking him up with his own for suits and stuff. He's a sparkle in his eye for Garbrandt. I think he wants to get his confidence back after losing a couple to TJ.
Yeah, I mean, I
That's what
don't
I
doubt
think.
that. I mean, like right when he won his belt, he had gotten like the sponsorship from
Body
Body
Armor.
Armor. Like the UFC was trying to push him so hard, with all
That's
the
the problem with the
sponsorships.
system. They're pushing everybody so hard to get that fast money. That's the
Yeah,
problem.
and funny enough, they pushed him, they pushed Francis, they pushed Paige VanZant.
Calvillo.
Yeah, I mean, they were pushing all those good-looking people out there and all of them lost the next fight. That's the funny thing. All of them lost their next fight. But I don't know too much.
They push Paige VanZant more than anyone. And
Of
lucky
course.
for her, is it very important that she won her last fight? Otherwise, how can you keep promoting a fighter that doesn't win? So
Yeah.
good thing she won her last fight.
Yep.
The two, in my opinion, well, Lisa Osovich, the two hottest women in the UFC.
Oh yeah, got a couple one
Covering
two
the two.
lookers in there. Jesus
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah, no, I don't blame him. But say let's see, let's move on to the next. I don't know anything about these two dudes. I don't know a
Nothing.
single
But they're
thing
both
about these
undefeated.
boys. Manny Bermudez, the Bermudez Triangle, I like that name. And Benito Lopez, the Golden Boy. All right, well, maybe because you just got
Tells me they're
some.
both decent since they're undefeated at the
Yeah.
very least. I know for sure that I think both of these guys are not new to the UFC.
Yeah. I don't know too much about these guys at all. I have not seen either of these guys fight. The Bermudez Triangle obviously looks like just a straight submission expert. As you
Yeah.
can see, 77% submit. I don't know. I don't know anything about these boys, so for me to start going on about who might win this fight. 13-0 and 9-0. So I mean, I'm not mad at the records.
Yeah. Let's see. Bermudez has three. No, two. He has two fights to the UFC, and the other guy has one.
Okay, so they're pretty
So
new.
they're still relatively green to the UFC.
Okay,
Yeah.
all right, so it makes sense. Yeah, They've probably been on the Fight Pass prelims or something that I haven't even seen them because I don't really mess with those guys. But bantamweights, 5'10". They're both kind of big for the division. Very big for the division. 5'10". I'm not mad at it, but I don't know. Just by looking at where these guys are, their specialty. I'm picking Bermudez to win this fight.
I'm what's Benito's, what's Lopez especially?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, he goes to a decision more than anything.
Well, in that case, I'll have to lean toward Bermudez as well.
I mean, this dude's got a 77 submission ratio. So I mean, 77% he wins by submission. So I'm not mad at that. I'll go with it.
No.
And then I don't know a freaking
That
thing.
flyweight fight, I'm not concerned with at all.
Nah,
The next one.
no. My favorite fight probably on this whole card is Jimmy Rivera, Aljamain Sterling. I'm excited for that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last fight of the prelims that we have yet to discuss is Andrea Lee versus Ashley Evans Smith. Don't know a thing about these people.
I've
Jesus.
heard both the names. I've seen both the fights. Neither one of them are memorable. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like this Ashley Evans Smith, she's either getting a knockout or she's going to the decision. She has no submissions on her
You're picking
record.
her? Oh, okay. You're just looking at her
Yeah,
record. Okay.
she has no submissions on her record, so it's either a knockout or decision. Or she's getting knocked out. That's it. So let's see. And then this Andrea Lee, I mean, she looks pretty well rounded. Got a little bit of knockout. She's got some submissions under her belt. She's got some decisions. So average fight time. Sheesh. Andrea Lee's going the distance in every single one of her fights, it looks like. Average fight time is 15 minutes. So most of the time she's going to the distance. Okay.
I'm looking at Ashley Evans Smith, her fights, and I noticed, down the line in 2017, she'd have lost to Ketlin Vieira. That reminds me, where has that chick been, dude? She was on a tear. She should be the next one in line for the title if she'd stay healthy. I don't know if she's injured or what, suspended, but she was vicious. She's a little bit like Nunez, dude. They're very similar. Bit like a man.
Like
I mean,
Tyron Woodley with braids.
yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, dude, if I remember her very well, and she's not fought in a hot minute. Let me click her real quick. She's last fought. Oh, she was back in 2018 against Tonya Evinger, got canceled. And last time she fought was in March 2018, about a year ago. She beat Kat Zingano. So, dude, if she would stay healthy or whatever, I don't know her situation. She should fight for the belt. She's fucking good. But yeah. Anyway, that's a little tangent on her, but it just made me realize some people just kind of disappear out of the spotlight and you forget about them.
So I'm looking ahead to the next card. Don't really give a shit about those. I'm looking for the March 2nd card. This is a big one. Jones,
Is that Darren
no,
Till?
Jones versus Anthony Smith, baby.
Oh, March 9th. Yeah.
Is it March 9th? I thought it was March. No, it's March 2nd.
2:35. You're right.
March
March
2nd.
2nd.
You got John Jones, Anthony Smith, Tyron Woodley, Kamaru Usman, Robbie Lawler, Ben Askren,
That's my
Tisha
favorite fight on the
Torres,
card.
Weili Zhang, Cody Garbrandt. How dare you have him down here below Tisha Torres? Get the
It's
hell out of here.
strategic though. It's strategic. They want
Yeah.
to light the fire into people's ass in the first. Then they can have that slight dip with the Tisha Torres fight, maybe, and then off to the races with
How
Lawler
dare
afterwards.
I just don't get it with these people, man.
As long as they're on the paper.
Yeah, as long as they're on the paper, I honestly don't give a shit. I'm just messing around.
Oh shit! Preliminary cards of fucking Stevens and
Jesus!
Zabit Nurmagomedov-Sharipov.
Jesus Christ!
It's a
Wow,
setup.
I'm.
You're blind if you don't see it. It's all that was the seed.
That.
Love Joey.
Whoa, they got some Just Bleed characters over here. We got Diego Sanchez and Mickey Gall going down.
Diego Sanchez, my favorite memory of him is, remember on the first Ultimate Fighter, Forrest Griffin's talking about what the fuck is this guy doing? He's out there harnessing the energy from the lightning storm, doing fucking yoga.
Jesus Christ. This
dude's crazy. Diego Sanchez, and he won his last fight, dude. He's one of the few veterans from the first generation of UFC out there still kicking it.
He is doing the damn thing. But right here, my man, Zabit Magomed Sharipov, is going at it with Jeremy Stephens. Who do you let's go ahead and talk about this one.
We got to unpack this one. This one's
let's unpack. Who do you have winning this thing?
Let's sit down on our punches on this one. I've got Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Dude, he is my number one up and comer on the UFC right now. That he is on most people's radar by now, but he's still considered an up and comer. This is going to be his breakout fight for sure.
Now, he's ranked 14, which I think is a little shady by the UFC.
It's probably based on whoever he's fought who did he last fought?
I don't know. Some
Brandon Davis.
Brandon Davis was undefeated, actually.
No, it says he's 8-5.
Wasn't he?
I don't know. It's what the record says, 8-5. But I think he stepped up late, maybe. I don't remember. But
yeah, he did.
Before that, Zabit had that barn burner fight with Kyle Bochniak.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is his big because Stevens is ranked pretty high up there.
Yeah, he's number 6. I'm not mad at it. But so the one thing, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at the UFC threw Zabit straight to Max Holloway. I'm not mad at that.
Oh, no, me neither. Dude, they all his coaches and everyone that talks about him says he's the most complete fighter they've ever seen. He can fucking create best boxing of everyone, best wrestling. They say he's got it all. I mean, this dude's the future. I think he'll beat Max Holloway. I think he's the only one in the division. Because Ryan Ortega was like, oh, let's see. He's fucking good. Couldn't do it. Zabit's a totally different character. This might be the last guy that could beat Holloway if anyone can.
Yeah. And even though Zabit, he's not undefeated, he's 16-1. But, I mean, come on, man.
I think a lot of guys that have that one or better, you need that loss to experience what it's like. But, like, a lot of times you need that one. And if you still only have one after such a great record, you know they're dangerous.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think right now, like I said, you throw him to Max Holloway, I think he gets the job done. See, the thing about him, though, Zabit and Brian Ortega is Zabit. He has chain wrestling, man. He has got great MMA wrestling. There's a difference between having conventional wrestling and MMA wrestling. He knows how to set takedowns up. He can take you down, I mean, on spot. I mean, his coaches call for a takedown. Boom, he's there with that little step-in trip. You know, where he steps in, you know, places the left foot, you know, right behind, and then just kind of, it's like a hot knife through butter. He just takes people out with that takedown over and over and over again, and it sets him straight up right into side control, and just boom, he's there. He's ready to get a crucifix and go to town.
Dude, have you seen that other Russian this one's from AKA Islam Makhachev. I forgot to say his last name, but Islam.
Yeah.
He hit that fucking Russian tie snap. Did you see that video?
Yes. Yeah, Islam Makhachev. Yeah, and then it's kind of funny because then like a month later, the kid that he did it on, he had a wrestling tournament, and then he goes and hits the same thing in tournament on the kid.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, and then it was kind of cool because DC was there to coach him in the tournament, so I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But yeah, it's I'm excited for that Zabit fight, that Jeremy Stephens.
And all these Russian guys, dude. But the thing is, Jeremy Stephens will, I think, no one he can't knock out the division, but anyone can get hit. That's really not something to lean on. Jeremy Stephens is awesome boxing outside and great fucking aggression, great stamina, great gas. It's just not enough against someone like Zabit. I don't care how much power you have. You got a way longer reach, right? I don't
know. Okay, hold on. Hold the phone. They have John Jones ranked number 2 right now.
Pound for pound?
No. In the light heavyweight division.
Oh, it's an error. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they haven't updated that. or what's going on here, because they have him as ranked number two. They don't even have him ranked as a champion.
Damn.
Huh. Did he get stripped or something again?
No, we would have heard about that. He's good. It's just what side are you on? You on the UFC site?
Yeah, I'm on the UFC website looking at this right now.
Okay, that.
Okay, yeah, they have him as the light heavyweight champion, but they don't have his picture back up or something. I mean, but it is a title fight here in 235, obviously. But him and Anthony Jones, Anthony Smith, my bad. Who's winning this one?
The thing about this fight, obviously, I think we're probably both going to say John Jones, and I think everyone has the right to. However, I think it's these kind of fights that scare everyone, because it's always the one you least expect to win. Gustafson, everyone knew he had a great fight with them, had a chance. Cormier, great fighter, great rivalry, had a chance. This still relatively unknown, but he's a fantastically long record. And, you know, it's just that you look at the Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey fight, same thing. Holm had a great record and stuff, came in. Everyone knew, oh, yeah, she's dangerous. So is everyone else.
Yeah.
Boom. Knocks out. It's just that if John Jones loses this fight to this type of guy, it will be the biggest upset in UFC history.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset. I mean, I take that back. I would be really upset if John lost the fight. But I mean, if you look at Anthony Smith's record, Ozdemir, his last win, got a submission in the third round. Then he beat Shogun. Then he beat Rashad Evans, Rashad, there you go. And then he beat Santos round two with a KO. Hector Lombard, KO. I mean, he's beaten some big-name guys. I mean, Thiago Santos is no slouch in the division. Just came off a win himself, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Rashad Evans, Shogun, Ozdemir. So I'm not mad at the guy's record at all. And then, of course, John Jones. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, if you look at his record, I mean, 31-13. He's got some experience under his belt. That is
31-13. Yeah, I know. I heard something on him. Dude, he was whatever his record was. It was a winning record, but he had, I want to say, 10 losses or 11 losses. And after that, he went on a huge fucking winning streak ever since then, and still. So, in his past, 20 fights or so, he's only lost, two fights.
Okay, my bad.
Something like that. I'm having trouble finding a good source to look at.
Yeah. So, who did Anthony Smith fight after Ozdemir?
He
hasn't fought since then, has he? Because right here, he's saying he lost it to actually Thiago Santos.
So he beat Volkan Ozdemir, is what you said, yeah.
Yeah.
That's his last fight. That's his last fight? In October.
Yeah. Okay, so all right. So he's on a 3-fight win streak. The last one that he fought was Thiago Santos. I got that mixed up.
He's a fucking killer, dude. He's doing so good at light heavyweight. How did that dude ever make middleweight? He's fucking huge.
I don't know.
When he fought Jimmy Rivera, Thiago Santos fought Jimmy Rivera, and Jimmy Rivera is a big fucking boy.
Yeah.
And he was bigger than him. And it's like, this dude somehow made him big.
I don't know, man. It's kind of like...
It's Anthony Johnson-esque.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, obviously, we all know John Jones. Undefeated since back when he fought... what's his name? It got called for the stupid 12-6.
Yeah. Matt Bonner.
Yeah.
One
of those...
Matt Bonner, that's fucking Spurs.
Yeah.
Shooter.
Stephen Bonner. He beat Gustafson in the last one. Then he beat Cormier in 2017. And then St. Preux in 2016. And then, obviously, we all know the whole spiel on John Jones. One of the best, if not the best, to do it. 23-1. Yeah, I got Jones on this one. I don't see it going anyway.
He's finally steering clear of – he's finally got out of the trouble, dude. And he's finally – like, he's so focused. He's so grateful for the opportunity he has now. Like, I think a lot of people said it, and I might agree. this maybe have been good for him because it extended his career with all that time mm-hmm. off and stuff. Maybe not. Maybe he would have just kept rolling through everyone. No, he got time to get better. He got so much. He's gotten better.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at the time off. I kind of like that. I was definitely one of those people that was like, I'm not mad at it.
No.
All that time off kind of help him, you know, save his body, recover. I'm definitely not mad at Kamara. Maru. There you go. I'm trying to look up Usman's record.
14-1. 14-1. All right, about that in the Jones fight, just because we all know how good John Jones is, but I still want to see it. But like this fight was very intriguing. That the co-main and my favorite one we'll get to after that. But yeah, it's a very good fight.
Yeah. So who are you picking in the co-main?
Oh, so shit. It's I'm still going with the champ, Tyron Woodley, and here's why. One, here's the difference. Woodley and Usman both have great wrestling, but Woodley's is world class. You look at his resume. Usman might have a better gas. Woodley hasn't necessarily faded, and he carries his muscle very well. He doesn't seem to get exhausted too easily. However, he's not the most busy fighter.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of waiting and stuff. Kamaru Usman's he's almost like Holloway in a sense where he puts on the pressure. He's got great hands. He's got great wrestling. It's just that he's kind of well-rounded, and he's not, like, world-class. He wears guys down and has, like, a great resolve to win. But Woodley can hit submissions. We've seen that proven. Since then, he's now a black belt. He can obviously knock. He's way more knockout power than Usman. And I think the experience from the level of guys he's fought is higher. So I think Woodley's kind of – I don't care that he's 36. You know, he's just still like a fucking testosterone fueled machine. Like if he's healthy, I don't see anyone beating
him. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you either. I mean, obviously you look at Tyron's last three fights, Woodley, I mean, Till, Maya, and then Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him going down to Kamaru. I mean, because if you really look at Usman's record, I mean, his last fight was against Dos Anjos. And he took him to a 5-round decision. And then he fought Maya. And then his third fight was Meek. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't really like him in this matchup. I don't think he's ready for this one. I honestly don't. His record doesn't show that he's ready for it, even though he is, you know, whatever, 14-1. I don't see that he's ready for this. For this matchup and Woodley, I would have liked to have seen him fight another high caliber matchup because Dos Anjos, he's a big name, but in the division he hasn't shown anything to be the top contender. I would have liked to have seen Usman and Till fight first.
Yeah,
that would have been a good one.
Till did beat freaking Stephen Thompson. Till is obviously one of the best in the division. The problem with him, besides being so young, is that we saw him, and we'd seen it in his last fight with Thompson too. He's so confident. He just believes so much that he's going to get that knockout, that win, that he like waits too long and lets the fight come to him. And with someone like Woodley, you can't wait. And he got caught.
Yeah.
And like Till virtually did absolutely zero to Woodley, did zero damage. He just got decimated.
Yeah.
So you see someone as good as Till – Woodley just one mistake and he capitalized. I don't think Usman's going to make the same kind of mistake, but I agree with you that he's just not ready.
Yeah. So, I mean, man, I don't know. Yeah, I'm picking Woodley on this one. I don't see it going any other way as well. But this next one, my goodness, this is going to be a fun one to watch.
My favorite.
So.
So you want to be a UFC fighter. What a great test. And getting someone vintage freaking epitome of UFC, fucking powerhouse, brawler, striker, former champion. That's great matchup. Great test for Ben.
Yeah. I mean, most of these people, they're not going to know who Ben Askren is. Ben Askren was the Bellator lightweight champion. They don't even have Ben Askren in the UFC database yet, but no. He was the
one
Bellator champion, the one champion. Yeah,
maybe Rizin. Did he fight in Rizin?
No, he. I don't think he fought in Rizin.
Or
yet.
Rizin, sorry.
But yeah. World class wrestler. I mean, he was an Olympian, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Olympic wrestler. You don't get much better than that. He hasn't been hit. In like 3 years in MMA,
yeah.
Undefeated. Yeah, he's the American Khabib, basically.
Yeah.
And then Robbie Lawler.
And he can tell you what, Robbie Lawler can spit on the mic, bro.
He's not bad on it. He's not bad on the mic.
He knows how to piss off Marty over there, Marty Usman.
Yeah.
That's
so yeah, I mean, Robbie Lawler in his last fight, he fought Dos Anjos, man. That's a long time off. And then he fought Cowboy. He lost to Dos Anjos 5-round decision, though. He's coming off a loss there. So
actually, Dos Anjos stopped him with tons of chain. Like just so he had him in the corner, and he just I don't know what round it was, but he just teed off on him forever until the ref finally stopped it. He had tons of body shots, and it was just a TKO. He just overwhelmed Lawler, and Lawler already looked hurt.
Man, yeah. Did he really finish him though?
Yeah, it was TKO.
Why did I think that went to a decision?
Yeah.
No way. He didn't finish him, did he?
Let me click the record here. I could be wrong. Robbie Lawler.
We watched that one together, didn't we?
I don't know. Yeah. Oh, you're right. He lost decision round 5.
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? I was like, I'm tweaking
this. I guess he just got pummeled so bad. I thought they stopped it, but they didn't.
And then, I mean, in my opinion, he's lost his last two fights. The Cerrone fight.
That was a close fight. Yeah.
I had it going to Cerrone on that one. I mean, shit. If he lost the Cerrone fight, he would have lost his last three.
And I love Cerrone, dude. He's my favorite fighter right now. Him and Adesanya.
I mean, he turned it around. That's for sure. I mean, he went on a tear with what? He went on a four fight one streak.
Yeah.
At welterweight, and then he kind of, you know, then he lost two to Lawler and then to Till, and I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Cerrone's... For a period of time, he was on a freaking 9-fight win streak back in the earlier days or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, so I like where Cerrone's going. He just beat Alex, what's his name? Alex Hernandez. There you go. I wanted to say Alex Smith for some reason. Alex Hernandez from San Antonio. Just, I mean, absolutely just picked that poor kid apart. You could definitely tell the kid, yeah, like he said, so you want to be a UFC fighter? Yeah. Picked him apart on the feet. Absolutely just.
And he talked was a surgeon mad in there. Shit. He talked mad shit to Cerrone. And it was pretty good, but you could tell it was planned out. He knew exactly what he wanted to say. And Cerrone told him, you know, you something to say to me, you come knock on my door because we're going to fight either way. So come on.
Yeah, he's like, the UFC fucked up and ended up putting you right next door to me. So you had anything to say, come knock on my door, motherfucker. I was like, laughing hard at that one.
But, dude, Cowboy, I just wish, and I know he has a nutritionist with him now, someone cooking for him, but fuck, there's got to be weight back because it looks like he doesn't put on much weight back after the weight cut of 155. Shriveled the next
time, you know? He did.
Like, dude, he was doing his interview like before he made like a little bit before he made weight a few days before. He looked really skinny, really frail. They're like, what are you weighing, Cowboy? And he's like 164. I was like, god damn, you still got 9 more pounds.
Yeah, he at that weigh-in, he did not look too good. He didn't look very good at that weigh-in. I was like, yeah,
made me nervous, man.
So let's see. Let's check this. So I'm just gonna go ahead. So who do you have in this fight? The Ben Askren, in the Ben Askren fight.
It's so tough because I have Ben Askren has beat high level competition. Man, he's beat like Rafael Lovato or something like that. I have to look up his record.
Yeah,
he's beat legit guys. So I'm going. You know, Robbie Lawler's not a wrestler. He's got decent takedown defense. You have to be if you're a former champion, but. This is another level. I'd say if you have pretty good takedown defense but not great and you're facing a great wrestler, I'm going to give it to the wrestler. So I'm going Ben Askren.
Okay, so you got Ben Askren in this one. All right.
I do.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Ben Askren in this one. Robbie Lawler, in my opinion, is coming off a three-fight, you know, losing streak, even though he's not. He beat Cerrone in that fight, but he is coming off a loss to Dos Anjos almost a year and a half ago. So, I mean, the last time he's fought was a year and a half ago. So, yeah, I'm picking Askren in this one.
It's just too bad that Askren will never, even if he, like, makes it that far, will never get to fight Woodley for the belt because they're training partners. So
I don't know. I wouldn't be mad at that fight either. I would like to see that one. But, yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, that's a good fight. It's a good, good fight.
Yeah. Man. So right now, I'm going to cut to a break for a minute. Okay. I got to go take a mad piss. But we're going to come back here in a minute after I release my goddamn bladder full of that jug of piss. And we'll be back.
Do the same.
All right. Okay. Have fun pissing, man.
Yep. And we're back.
Good piss. Good piss. All right. So let's get back to it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So I'm going to go ahead and skip this Tisha Torres fight because I don't know anything about Wei Li Zhang. And I didn't really care about Tisha Torres either.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a good record for freaking women's MMA in China. Come on.
Seems like you have real stiff competition out there. Anyways.
Good thing you're fighting everyone who's had their freaking traditional, you know, feet binding. Their foot's so small it's going to miss your face even when it connects. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not fighting anyone.
Yeah. Anyways, so let's move on to probably one of my favorite matches of the night. I'm excited to see Cody Garbrandt get back in there. He's still ranked number 2. He got an 11-2 record, which, I mean, his only two losses are to the man with the number, TJ Dillashaw. I don't know. How do you see this one going? He's fighting Pedro Munhoz, so.
I mean, in comparison to Garbrandt, well, really, anyone Garbrandt's going to fight at this level is going to have more experience than him. But, you know, I mean, Garbrandt puts on a show every time he fights, even when he loses, and when he looks out like he didn't do some damage to the other guy.
Yeah.
So, does he have the fastest hands in the UFC? I mean,
shit, he might. I mean, this guy has lightning in his hands.
Fuck, man. No disrespect to Munhoz, but, like, you just got to go for Garbrandt. If he's not fighting Dillashaw, I got to pick Garbrandt.
Yeah.
You know, unless, I mean, now Jimmy Rivera or Marlon Moraes, that's something to talk about. But this fight, this guy, I'm going Garbrandt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Garbrandt as well. Even though he is coming off two losses to TJ Dillashaw, the bantamweight champ, I just don't see him losing this fight to Pedro Munhoz. I mean, the last guy that Pedro Munhoz has fought is Brian Caraway.
Yeah.
I mean, and then he beat who is this right here? He beat what's his name?
Brett Johns.
Yes, Johns.
He was like a Welsh type guy, if I remember right.
Yes,
anyway,
and then
he lost to John Dodson.
He lost to John Dodson. Yeah, I mean, John Dodson is no world beater in the bantamweight division either.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. I don't see Cody coming out at that arena. Without a win. I see him clearly taking that one.
See it by knockout?
I do see it by knockout. I would say TKO in the second round. I think the first round he's going to figure him out. Pedro's probably going to want to stay on the outside and look for a takedown. And Cody is just going to wait for him to slip up, overextend, crack him on the right hand.
When I look at Munhoz's record here, I'm still going through it. He hasn't – last time he lost before Dodson was in 2015 to Jimmy Rivera, but he went all five rounds. So that's no one shabby to lose to. He went on a big winning streak before Dodson.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, like you said, he won his last two.
Rob Font. Yeah, I mean,
it's just the thing is, as much as Garbrandt was hyped up and maybe brought to the spot, like brought up so fast. Regardless of all that, he's still a star. He's a star. But some guys have that it factor.
I don't know.
And he has.
I don't know if he was brought up too fast.
He beat Dominic Cruz, so yeah, maybe you really can't say that.
He bought Ricardo Almeida, who at the time was 21-0. He fought on May 29th in 2016. So back in 2016, Ricardo Almeida was 21-0 coming into that Cody Garbrandt fight. Cody Garbrandt was 9-0. So they're like, all right, you want to be a UFC fighter? Let's throw you to the freaking Wolves right here. So they threw him to the Wolves, and he KO'd him first round.
I remember that. And then, that was shocking. Or impressive.
Yeah. And then Mizugaki at the time, if you remember, he was ranked number two in the in the bantamweight division. So I was like, all right. You know, it's another one of those tough tests. And looking back on it now, you're like, who the hell is Mizugaki? But he was ranked number two at the time. And then, like you said, he goes on to win the belt from Cruz.
That was one of the best fights I've seen.
Yes. Yeah, that is pro – today, one of my most favorite fights to watch, just the display of footwork.
The speed, everything.
The speed in which those two guys can throw punches and how fast he can get in and out. You know,
and he knew exactly where Cruz was going to throw. He knew where he was going to be. It was impressive. I mean,
Yeah. That was just like the pure showmanship from Cody Garbrandt in that fight made me a fan forever. And I'll always watch his fights. Just because of that Cruz fight, I remember go back and rewatching that fight over and over again. Cruz would throw that right hand, and Cody would just slip out of distance, you know, just an inch or two, and then counter it back, and it's just they're just going back and forth and back and forth. Yeah, that was an awesome fight to watch.
Loved it.
And then obviously we go to the prelims and the Jeremy Stephens Zabit fight. At barn burner right there. Ovin St. Preux versus Misha Cirkunov. I take OSP in that one. I don't see him losing. Cirkunov, yeah, I mean, tough customer, but
good. St. Preux has like three Von Flue chokes to his record. I mean,
he's diverse.
He's so... Like, people always forget how good his submission game is, and he's ridiculously athletic considering he played football for Tennessee. So,
yeah,
I won't say competitive, but he gave Jones a decent fight for his return back in 2015.
Took him the distance.
So, I mean, yeah,
I'm not mad at it. Yeah, I mean, the other guys on the card. The guys below me, yeah, I got OSP in that fight. And then it'd be wrong of me to go ahead and pick a winner versus Song Yadong. Jesus Christ. And then Alejandro Pettis. But the other fight that I'm excited to see is Diego Sanchez and Mickey Gall. That's going to be a good one. I have Diego in that fight.
That's a good fight, man. And ever since Sage Northcutt lost to Mickey on my radar, forget the whole CM Punk thing. I didn't give a shit about that. But then when he beat Northcutt, who still is, you know, was pretty green at that time, but a talent nevertheless, I was like, oh shit, okay, this guy's got something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's definitely got something, but I don't see him coming out of there beating Diego. I think he's got that in the bag.
That's interesting because I think I'm. It's hard to say because Diego Sanchez won his last fight pretty convincingly against, I want to say, the Thundercat, Craig Paul or something like that.
Yep.
But, man, I think I'm going to go against you there and pick Mickey Gall.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I see him winning this one.
I think Gall's a very high-level brown belt. I can't speak on his wrestling ability, and his stand-up is nothing overly impressive. Diego Sanchez and is definitely the way more experienced guy, but I'm gonna say Gall catches him in a submission.
Okay. All right. I'm not mad at it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. Mickey go. All right. Yeah, I have Diego Sanchez by pure bleed knockout.
Ooh. I hope you're right.
By just right. Bleed knockout. Yeah.
I hope you're right. Because I would love
that. That would be a fun one.
Shit.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess it's the only fights that we'll talk about today. But
can I give you one more?
Go for it.
On the early prelims, I think it's worth mentioning the top fight on the early prelims. Edmund Shahbazyan, I don't know how to say his name, versus Charles Byrd. That's actually a legit fucking fan fight. This Edmund,
mm-hmm.
like he just turned 20. Or, oh, it says 21. So he just turned 21.
Shahbazyan?
I remember watching, yeah, Edmund Shahbazyan. He won his last fight, which I might have been his UFC debut against. Oh, hold on. Against yeah, there it is. He beat Darren the Dentist Stewart. And Stewart is a bit of a ripped up looking Tyron Woodley, except it's middleweight. So he looks a lot like Tyron Woodley, and he's all ripped up. He's got great power in his hands. He's not the level of wrestler or anything like that that Woodley is. But Edmund Shahbazyan has like great wrestling and great like ability to adapt. Because he's like considered like kind of a big up and comer. And now he's fighting Charles Byrd, who I believe also edged out Darren Stewart. And Darren Stewart's no fucking joke. That's to me is a really good sleeper. That is my sleeper fight. It's not a high level fight on like the top rankings. It's not even like a up and comer fight, but I would call it the sleeper fight.
Okay, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that's basically it for the fights. That's what we just went over. UFC 235. And then the UFC fight night in Arizona. So let's go back to the UFC fight night in Arizona that's coming up this weekend that I am really excited to watch. I mean, you got some freaking some fights on here.
By the way, I have an idea. Would you like to do a live stream fight companion to that on my podcast?
Let's do it. They're also Joe and the fight companion crew. They're doing one as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're doing one. They're doing one over there at Joe's place. So that's gonna be a fun one.
Let's give them a run for their money
to watch. Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. But man, I'm over here looking back at the main event: Francis Ngannou and King, the Kane fight. And I mean, their records are pretty identical, 12-3 and then 14-2. Sheesh. They're both coming off wins, obviously. But this right here is what I'm excited to see, because Kane's a big dude. He's 6'1, 240. And then you have Francis over here that's 6'4, 250. And that's total bullshit. This guy's not 250. He's cutting down to 265. So whoever.
He was for sure. Yeah. And he still is, but I think he slimmed down a little bit. But yeah.
Whoever in the hell's just rounding numbers saying 250, get your ass out of here. This man's cutting down to the 265 limit. There's no way in hell he's 250.
The biggest he ever was definitely the Stipe fight, though. Then he slimmed down. But, dude, Stipe, he looked like he was about to bust out of his own arms. Like, they fucking filled his arms with, like, creatine and concrete mixture. And his, like, fucking... Like, his arms were so heavy and full of lactic acid by, like, the second round that he was just so gassed. Like,
yeah.
He was a literal bodybuilder in there.
So, but what I'm excited to see is how in the hell Kane's going to deal with Francis's reach, with Francis's distance.
Yeah.
Because he's got an 83-inch reach.
Yeesh, dude. That's, like, right under Jones.
Right, right under Jones. Yeah. And then Kane's walking around with a 77. And if people don't
that's
know, I mean,
long reach for him.
Francis got some damn good boxing, though. Whenever he relaxes and he lets his hands go, the man has got some good boxing under his belt.
Oh, yeah. And let's not forget, whenever he knocked out Blades the second time, he literally clipped him and he hit him on the arm that was blocking his head. Blades was covering up.
Yeah.
He got hit on his arm and still got put on wobbly legs. So.
I mean, I'm not mad at that fight. At all, I think I'm picking Francis to win that one.
It's definitely possible. I will be very upset if he wins, though.
I don't know. I think it's very, like, I mean, it's always in the UFC, you never know what can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see that one coming, going out a decision. If it goes to a decision, something went wrong. Someone got hurt or something. But yeah. Oof. It's going to be a good one. It is going to be a good one.
A lot of anticipation. I'm going to be excited.
So Darren Till fights on March 16th against Jorge Masvidal. That is going to be a fun one. And then, geez, if you look at March 23rd, my goodness, they have some freaking fights coming up. So, man, the UFC gods are blessing us. We got Francis and Kane, and then Skip Thiago Santos fight. And then you have Jones Smith, Lewis versus Dos Santos, Till, and Masvidal. And then you have Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Anthony Showtime Pettis. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
I don't know what Pettis is thinking, man. Like, his whole last, like, I don't know, 10 fights, it's been win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. And, like, he lost his last one. It's time for him to get a win. He's going to continue that streak, and I don't see him winning against Thompson.
Yeah, I don't either. I think,
like, he's moving up because he doesn't feel like he's anywhere to go in the lightweight division. But,
yeah,
dude, you're just not good enough anymore.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head. Yeah, I think that the talent pool right now in the UFC has just passed him. I mean, it just comes to a point where it's like, okay, you were good for that era, you know?
Yes.
Like, you were good for the 2014 era. It's the same thing with Jose Aldo, and no disrespect. I mean, you were good for years, but then the people – Connor's what, a year younger than Jose Aldo, so it's kind of weird, but
jeez, yeah. And Aldo's still at the very top. He won his last fight convincingly. It's just he can't quite beat the champion.
You're not gonna beat the top tier guys anymore. And that's the same thing with Anthony Pettis, and then he was good for so long, and then I don't know why his name's not coming to my mind right now. I'm going blank.
Who are you talking about? Like, give me a description.
Not Eddie. He didn't fight Eddie to win the belt. But Benson, right? He lost the belt to Benson, correct?
Pettis?
Yeah.
Beat Benson twice.
He beat Benson. Back in Cage. So he did the off the fence kick on Benson
in Cage Warriors. Yes. The famous one.
But who did Pettis lose the belt to?
He lost it to Dos Anjos.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, why was I thinking of Benson Henderson? So he lost the belt to Dos Anjos, and then Eddie Alvarez also beat Dos Anjos, and then Connor won that belt. But yeah, like I said, his time has just kind of come and gone, in my opinion. I don't think he's beating those guys anymore, and now he's just trying to move up and down just to see where he can get a win or two just to keep his name running. But yeah, I mean, he fought the cream of the crop, Tony Ferguson, and just got the brakes beat off of him.
He hurt Ferguson, but everyone hurts Ferguson. He just gets better when he gets hurt, which makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's just like a zombie walking through that octagon, throwing punches still. And then if you look at this fight right here, Edson Barboza versus Gaethje.
Oh, what card is that? Oh, that already happened? No. When is that?
That's March 30th.
Oh, the next card. Okay.
Yes, it's a ways off, but that's going to be a fun one.
Interesting.
And then on that fight, you have Carolina Kolkiewicz and Michelle Waterson as well.
It's a good one.
You get some big name fights on that one. Maybe not.
Dude, Carolina got flatlined against, was it Jessica Andrade last fight?
Yes, yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude, I've never seen a women's strawweight hit with that much power. It was scary. I would love to see her fight Rose.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a fun one. And I think that's the fight that they're going to make, probably. But this one
Rose
right here,
hasn't fought in forever. That's the thing.
What's her name? Angela Hill. I think Angela Hill's making her debut on the Thompson fight. But then the co-main is Curtis Blaydes and Justin Willis. Justin Willis is a nobody. fighting Curtis Blades. Curtis Blades is going to easily take that one. But let's see what the co-main is looking
like. I agree.
Like until, Leon Edwards and my boy Gunnar Nelson. Gunnar Nelson making his debut again. Or he's coming back.
I can't wait for that one.
I mean, after that little layoff that he had, and that's in the O2 in London.
That was a just
Jesus Christ. Darren Till's fighting in London at the O2. That's going to be a wild one.
That's on.
Yeah, it's a fight night. Yeah, that's going to be a wild one for Till fighting in London. Jeez. And then Gunnar Nelson. And then I'm not mad at the main card on this one. Volkan Ozdemir and Dominic Reyes. Dominic Reyes is coming off a big win, too.
Dude. No, he's 10-0. He's freakishly athletic for his size.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. Oh, and you got, once again, you got Nathaniel Wood, the prospect, on there.
Yeah, he's fighting Jose Quinones. Not mad at it.
Remember this guy? I haven't seen him in a while. Mark Dikiesi. Like, he's a surprisingly good record. He's the black guy with the red mohawk. He's not that impressive, but for some reason... Okay, his record's decent, but for some reason, I thought he reminded me of Marcus Brumage.
Hey, did you see Gokhan Saki's fighting on this card, too?
Oh, whoa. I didn't. I must pass that. There he is.
Yeah.
Against some guy. I can't say his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't pronounce your name, buddy, but he's on there.
Oh, you also got the girl. That's the reason Mario Yamasaki got fired for Priscilla Cachoeira.
Cachoeira?
The strike count for her versus Valentina Shevchenko,
yeah.
200-1.
Yeah.
We need Yamasaki back, man. Because whenever you have that freaking controversy in New York with TJ Dillashaw and Henry Cejudo, guess what wouldn't have happened if you had Mario Yamasaki?
Yep.
That wouldn't have happened.
That definitely
one of them
would
have gone
happened.
To the hospital and had brain damage.
That definitely would not have happened. He would have let that gone on. All 5 minutes, even if TJ still was on the ground, he would have let it go on all around.
Yes. Dude, and TJ still would have – then TJ would have been like, well, you know, I still want the rematch. But, yeah, you're right. Even if he, like, did get put down by Cejudo and kept down, you know, Yamasaki, it would be like
mm-hmm.
his hand is just limp on the cage. You got to show me something.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm over here looking at this card coming up. It's the, I think it's the Derek Lewis card. Yeah, it's the Derek Lewis card. So I don't know who's in the co-main. Man. But the fight after the co-main, Tim Means and Nico Price. That's going to be a good one.
Nico Price is, Tim the Dirty Bird Means is like this weird crafty type veteran guy.
Yep.
But he reminds me a lot of Sam Alvey, who I hate.
Yep.
Hate Sam
Alvey. Slamming Sam.
He's very knowledgeable, but he's not, like, athletic. He's not got a good body. He's not, you know, he doesn't have anything going for him. So I really hope Price, and I think Price will get that.
And then freaking Ben Rothwell still doing the damn thing.
Dude, he's another kind of Diego
Jesus
Sanchez.
Jesus Christ. What the hell is that guy still doing in the UFC?
And Tim Boetsch, dude. I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, Tim Boetsch is on that card.
For a while, he was like the middleweight gatekeeper, kind of. If you beat him, you were in the top kind of group, but not anymore. He's 38.
Yeah.
I mean.
Huh, let me see. I'm looking. Oh, okay. This card doesn't look too bad. It's not the best, but.
It's worse.
It's the Thiago Santos card that I'm looking at right now. Thiago Santos, and then in the main card, they have Stefan Struve.
Which is that like near the?
That's right after the Ngannou card.
I go back.
Sandwiched in between Jones and Smith and then the Ngannou card this weekend, but Jean Valente's fighting versus a man that I cannot pronounce his name.
Oh, but Marcos Rogério de Lima. I'm very familiar with that one.
And then John Dodson's fighting versus Petr Yan.
Oh yeah. Is he Russian?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that dude is. But
he's another big up and like he's kind of in the same lane to me as Nathaniel Wood. Unless they already fought. I believe
that's how you pronounce his name, right? Petr Yan.
Yeah, it's something weird. He's won all of his UFC fights. I mean, one, two, three, and he's about to have his fourth. So You know, he's
not mad at it.
I would like to see him and Nathaniel Wood down the road. That'd be prospect versus prospect.
Oh, Rustam Khabibov is fighting in this one.
I don't know him.
Rustam. I don't know why. I don't know why I've seen multiple fights of his, but I have. And he's always entertaining. But, all right, I'm not mad at it.
So it's
overall got some good fights coming up, though.
A lot of guys that card is a real tongue twister with names. Rogan's better watch his P's and Q's with the freaking weigh-ins.
Yeah, he better.
There's a Klitson, Deborah, Lucy Petalova, that Michael, whatever. I don't know half these guys, and that's some work pronouncing all these names.
Okay,
dude, there's a guy on there named Chris Fishgold.
Chris Fishgold.
Fishgold. He's fighting Daniel Tamer, not David Tamer.
Huh. Different guy. Okay.
Fishgold.
So right here for the pound for pound rankings, we've got Daniel Cormier at 1, John Jones 2. I do not understand that.
I think, yeah, and really, that's just a panelist of like writers that make those.
But even as a writer, if you know the sport, okay, so that makes it worse then. Even if yeah. If you're a sports writer, or a MMA journalist, whatever the hell you are, how the hell are you gonna rank Daniel Cormier number one pound for pound fighter? Over John Jones when he's lost to John Jones twice and he got head kick KO'd by John Jones.
Yeah, I think it would have been fair to do that if for whatever, and it doesn't make sense, but if for whatever reasons Jones came back and didn't fight for the belt, then Cormier still technically held both yes. belts. But since he got the light heavyweight belt back, so what if you beat Stipe? So what if you beat Stoic?
Yeah.
You still got beat twice.
I'll never understand how these people will keep putting Daniel Cormier number one pound for pound. John Jones. I can understand if John Jones is not in the pound for pound lists, you know, because he's inactive. But if he's an active fighter and he holds a light heavyweight belt, how the hell are you going to tell me that a man that has lost to him twice is pound for pound better than him? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make sense at all to me. It does not make sense. I do not get it. I will never get that. In my opinion, it's John Jones 1 and then Daniel 2. It's just crazy to me. And then you have Habib, and then you have Max at 4, Henry at 5, Tyron at 6, Amanda at 7, George 8, TJ 9, Connor all the way down at 10. Jesus Christ.
That's fair.
Ah, man. You know I'm a Connor fan. Jesus Christ.
I know, but he hasn't won since
2016. I know. Fuck so. Out of here with that. God damn it, Connor.
Hey, I hope. Dude, do you think that fight? You think Cerrone will get the Connor fight?
I don't know. I wouldn't be mad at it if he got that fight.
I want to see that more than him fighting Diaz.
Yeah, I do. Personally. I do. I don't care about the Diaz fight. I think he's better than Diaz, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
especially if it's a lightweight.
He's pound for pound better than Diaz, I feel.
He beat him. He came back and won at welterweight. So what do you think he's going to do at lightweight? He's going to have even more power.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would like to see this Cerrone fight. I don't know. That's a hard one to call because Cerrone's on a freaking tear right now at lightweight.
I can't call that one, but I know who I want to win, and I'll oppose you on it. I want Cerrone.
You want Cerrone to win that fight?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to see that storytale ending, man. I want him to get the belt.
How dare you? How dare you, Will Westphal? God damn it. I don't know. And it's obviously, I want Connor to win every fight that he goes into.
That's the only fight I would ever bet against. Not betting, but root against Connor. Only Cerrone. Anyone else, I wouldn't root against Connor.
Yeah, I'm definitely staying with Connor on that one. But if I was a betting man, that's a hard one to call. Because in my opinion, Cerrone's freaking dangerous. With his hands, you know, on the ground, with his wrestling. And the thing is with Connor, is he's a he the last time I've checked, he was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. He's got very good MMA wrestling. He works with Dylan Danis, you know. Mm-hmm. He works with Sergey Pulganowski over there at SBG. So his wrestling is good. He has very good wrestling. When he fought Max Holloway, wrestled his ass off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has good wrestling, but it seems like he just – like, he doesn't – like, he's almost too big of an ego to wrestle. Like he sees it, like, looking same down
as,
upon
same
it.
Same as freaking Aaron Pico. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like he has to knock everybody out, and it pisses me off because he can wrestle his ass off. Now, is he to the level of Khabib? No. But he's got some good wrestling. And that's the thing. I just feel if he were to fight Cowboy, he's just going to stand up. And Cowboy is not bad on the feet, man.
No. And, dude, I think for Conor, fighting Cowboy, he mainly just needs to attack that body. Because at 155, Cerrone's very susceptible to those body shots.
He's depleted, man.
He doesn't recover well. And yeah. Also, just don't hear Cerrone going into his guard. Because he's so dangerous off his back.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. That would be a rough one. And then you have, let's keep going down that list. And you have Stipe at 11, Robert Whittaker 12, Tony Ferguson 13.
Hey, fuck that guy, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck out of here, Whittaker.
Freaking politeness and shit. Like, no, I don't care if it's not your fault. If you're always getting injured, fucking strip him. Dude, he's always injured.
Yes, he is.
You can't do that as a champion. You just can't. Like, I don't care how good you are, how nice you are. If you don't fight, you don't get the belt.
Exactly. And then, geez, Chris Cyborg all the way down at 15. And then you have Rose at 14.
And Rose, when did she fight Joanna last? I don't even know when that was.
She's taking a while.
Last April, I believe, 223, when Connor threw the dolly.
Yeah, she's taking a while just because she's had freaking PTSD. Get the hell out of here.
Dude, and yeah, it's a fucking moving truck with little wheels. What are you afraid of?
Oh my gosh. So
she's like, dude, there was reports earlier on, like after the fight, she was afraid to leave her house. Like, get the fuck out of here. Your name's Thug. The least thuggish person I've ever come across. Like,
your name's Thug Rose, and now you won't leave your house because someone threw a dolly at you. Or they didn't even throw a dolly at you, they threw a dolly at a bus that you were in.
And by the way, other guys got cut. You didn't get touched.
Yeah, she didn't get touched. So let's look at this one right here. I'm going to keep going down this. So Henry Cejudo, what do you think is going to happen with the Henry Cejudo, TJ Dillashaw mix-up right now?
I think Dana gives him the rematch, but it might be at – I feel like as much as TJ wants to go back down, I don't think Dana will do that. It'll be like kind of almost like a waste of time for the division. But I think it goes to bantamweight.
To me, I think this is what's gonna happen. I think that they're gonna give TJ and Henry the fight again because I think that that's what everybody wants to see, and I think that they're gonna give it to him at 125.
You do? Okay.
Because let's be honest. Nobody cares about the flyweight division.
No.
Nobody cares. I mean, you have Ray Berg. Ray Berg and Joseph Benavidez. I mean, you have some fights that you can make time with at the 125 division. And then if you look at the 135-pound division, you have a shit ton of fights that you can still make. I mean, because they have Marlon Moraes at number one and Cody Garbrandt ranked number two three. I don't think that Marlon Moraes has earned that one spot yet. I think you can still make time with Marlon fighting Cody, and then I would like to see Jimmy win this fight and then fart Marlon again. Because it lasted, 30 seconds in that fight?
You think they're, like, big enough of a draw to do a rematch?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, yeah, because, like, Jimmy was coming off a 25 win streak, and then now Marlon is number one. I would like to see Marlon and Cody fight. And then that would give time for Henry and TJ to fight again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they can still make some fights.
The other thing that disappoints me is that Dominic, I've always said this, is like the Derrick Rose of MMA.
Yes.
He's hurt. He's hurt more than anyone else. And it's like, dude, if your body's falling apart, that much that often.
Just quit.
You can't make a fight. You know what? You had a good run for the time you were for the time you're healthy. You're simply hurting other guys' career besides your own. At this point, because they make all this time for training camp, and then last minute they don't get another replacement fight because you get hurt. You're a good commentator. You're a smart guy. You're obviously very knowledgeable in the sport. But unfortunately, you just can't stay healthy, and it's like a waste of time.
Honestly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with you there. But I think that is what's gonna happen. They're gonna give TJ the 125 fight again, just because the 135 pound division has so many fights to make within that top five. Top five ranking.
You know what I'd like to see is Dominic. After all the about him, I'm still gonna say if he were to get healthy and win another fight decisively, I would like to see him rematch Garbrandt.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Because that was a hell of a fight. Who's this?
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
But and then I don't really care about the featherweight division anymore. I mean, it's whatever. I don't really care. But the lightweight division, my gosh.
I would like to see Jose Aldo and Brian Ortega.
Yeah, that's a fight that I would like to see.
But other than that, yeah, I don't, you know. Chad Mendez is retired now. So you got Alexander Volk. I would like to see him versus Zabit. But, you know, Zabit's already on a faster track. Well, not really, because Volkanovski beat Chad Mendez, who was like number five. So technically he's still higher ranked than Zabit.
So you're saying that Chad Mendez did retire?
Yeah, he retired after he lost.
Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of on the way out.
He was, yeah, and he won his last fight. He's kind of always one of my, kind of like a favorite to watch. Not a favorite, but like he's always like a good guy to watch.
Yeah, but obviously the division that everybody's looking at right now is the lightweight division. What in the hell is going to happen with these guys? You got,
crazy,
obviously,
dude,
Khabib's
no,
a champion.
There's no structure. They can do whatever they want. That UFC, you know, there's
because
no
yeah,
structure. That's unlike boxing. The number one guy gets the number one fight. Period. So
they have, yeah, that's the thing. They have so many freaking
Dustin Poirier has been left in limbo for a, like, where the hell does Poirier fit in the picture? We don't know.
Yeah, and Poirier is ranked number three. See, this has looked, this is such a familiar look for the lightweight division with Khabib at champion, Tony at one, and then Conor at two. Obviously, I'm saying that from when Conor moved from featherweight to lightweight, it looked like that already. But then you have Dustin at three, Al at four. I like Quinta. I mean,
it's always surprising when he wins. Honestly,
I don't think he's that good though.
I was very surprised he beat Kevin Lee again.
I don't think he's that good. Then, but that's the thing of he's already beat him once. You know,
the thing is, like, yeah, he's deceptive about how he fight. Like, it's not like Khabib necessarily had an off night. I mean, he did better against Khabib than anyone. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, I think if you throw Al Connor, Connor's gonna eat his ass. I mean, he's gonna fucking. And I mean, eat his ass. Yeah, I'm saying eat his ass for the people that are like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, he's going to tear him apart. I think if you throw Al, Tony would sit there and murk this dude. Justin Gaethje, I would like to see. I would like to see Justin Gaethje give Al some CTE. I mean,
oh, dude, that would be a great fight. Or a great, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, then you got Kevin Lee, Edson Barboza, Justin Gaethje, Anthony Pettis, Donald Cerrone at 9, James Vick at 10, Gregor Gillespie, 11, that's a good one, Nate at 12, Alexander Hernandez at 13, Charles at 14, and then Francisco Trinaldo at 15. But
it's time for Felder to get that ranking back after this fight, that's for sure.
But Charles Oliveira, he's not doing bad right now, man.
No, dude, he's the most submissions in UFC history.
He's on a tear right now, so I wouldn't be mad at any of those fights.
Dude, yeah, like you said, lightweight is murderer's row. It's murderer's row.
Yeah. Yep. Murderer's row. I mean, that's it. I'm trying to check something. Women's band. Oh, so they don't even have the women's featherweight division on here either. They don't even have it there. On the website, it's just all they have is Wyndham's bantamweight, and they have Amanda with the two belts on her shoulder.
You know, just back at what you said, saying about lightweight, other than Michael Chandler and Bellator, I can't think of another lightweight from anywhere outside of the UFC that can compete with the top 15 ranked lightweights in UFC.
No.
Michael Chandler, no one else.
I mean, yeah, Michael Chandler and then Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
And what's that other guy's name? He's kind of he's always in the belt contention for the lightweight over there. Yes, Russian Brent guy.
Freeman? Oh, Russian guy.
Russian guy. The name's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't remember his name to save my life. Pitbull? No, that guy's the 145 champ.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
He's fought Chandler before.
That guy, sounding name. I don't know.
What's his name? It's gonna bother me. I can't remember his name. Bellator lightweight. But man, I can't remember his name. It's gonna piss me off. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember his name. It'll come back to me. But yeah, I mean, no, you're right. I mean, I don't see anybody other than Michael Chandler beating anybody in the lightweight division. There's just too many killers out there, man. It's just too many killers. There's no way that anybody else in the Bellator lightweight division
not even compete. Yeah. On the other hand, though, I think the best middle is Gegard Mousasi. That's just my opinion. Mousasi won he went out of the UFC already on a win against Chris Weidman. That one was a little controversial stoppage, but he decimated Rory McDonald. He destroyed whoever he took the belt from. I mean, and he's in his prime at this point, even though he's a ridiculously well fought veteran who's had over 40 fights.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 31 now or so, and he's looking. I think Mousasi would beat Whitaker. I think he'd beat Yoel Romero. I think he's another. Wish so badly that MMA would do cross promotional bouts just like boxing.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, I think Gegard comes in there and wrecks everybody that is that's in the middleweight division. I don't see anybody stopping that dude.
Sick Gegard, and he didn't strike me as a big middleweight, but then you see him in there against Rory McDonald and you realize how big he really is at middleweight.
He's a big
He fought, he was a light heavyweight champion in Dream and somewhere else, and then he was also a heavyweight. Dude, this guy beat fucking Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
At heavyweight. I mean, come on, son.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that's definitely that'd be a fun one to see. I'm still looking for this guy I'm still looking for him. I can't find him. But man, he's a Russian dude. And he's fought a Michael Chandler before too. But he's not coming up on my radar.
I'll see if I can find him for you, but
it's not Andrei Korshkov, because he's a Walter Waite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not him.
Let's see. Man, there's really no one in the top for.
You know who I'm looking at Bellator fighters right now, but do you know who I really wish would have gotten in the UFC that I think should have won, and I think is a better fighter than anybody that was in his class, is Saul Rogers from the UFC. UFC, what do you call it? What am I trying to say? Yes, the Ultimate Fighter. Thank you. Yeah, the season 22 Ultimate Fighter with Artem, Ryan Hall, yeah, all those guys. Saul Rogers was
yeah, but British
he couldn't get a visa.
Yeah,
he couldn't get his visa in time.
He's a crazy striker.
Yes, and I mean he's 12-2. He's a featherweight, and he's been winning fights ever since then. And now he's in Bellator.
In Britain?
Yeah. He beat the shit out of everybody. And
Saw the Hangman Rogers.
Yeah. And he's beat everybody that he went up against in the Ultimate Fighter. And
that's they never signed him.
Because he made it to the finals. He was supposed to fight Ryan Hall in the finals and for Team Europe. But he couldn't get his visa, so then that's where Artem took his spot.
Oh, yeah, and fucking, but, you know, all credit to Artem, he is the GOAT. I mean,
yeah, give it to him.
You got to give him respect.
Yeah, so, I mean, I still think he should have got an end to the UFC.
That's a good pick. 8 submissions. Wow, I didn't realize that. 8 submissions, 1 KO, 2 KO, 3 decisions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's well-rounded because I remember him as being such a good striker. So, if he has 8 wins by submission.
Yeah, he'll wrestle his ass off. I mean.
You know, my main pick for, like, guys I wish would have gotten the UFC, for me, it's Lance Palmer. He fights out of Alpha Male with Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have to look him up. I don't know his record, but at this point, I'm kind of happy for him. And I don't think he wants to even be in the UFC anymore. Because, you know, the PFL tournament where they each all got $1 million if they won?
Yeah.
He won the PFL featherweight.
Oh, whoa.
So he won $1 million. That was a cool thing to watch, dude, to watch each guy win and then get that $1 million check and literally see their lives change before their eyes. And they talked about what they're going to do with the money, what they could pay off, how it, you know, it literally instant life changer, $1 million. So that was awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah, Lance Palmer's my pick, dude. His record is Lance the Party Palmer, PFL. Let me see. He's a great wrestler, dude. Fantastic wrestler, fantastic featherweight. 17-3, I believe. He's had the World Series of Fighting belt as well. So, you know, he's a legit fucking guy, legit wrestler, like All-American. I want to say national champion, not sure. But anyway, he's always the guy that, to me, stood out as being the one that got away besides Ben Askren. But now UFC got Ben Askren, so.
Yeah, that's good. But, all right, man, well, I think that's going to do it, man.
Yeah, long good one.
Yeah. Well, all right, man, I'll catch you later.
I'll catch you Saturday, probably.
All right, man, sounds good.
All right,
let it be. All right, peace. Okay, guys, so that was me and my good friend Will Westfall just talking about the upcoming UFC fights and some of the UFC, I guess you could say, news and drama that is going on right now. So, yeah, I think what's going to happen is most of the content, you know, kind of involved with this podcast is probably going to steer more towards just hanging out. I know it has started out with some of my friends that are in business, and I'm going to have some of those people on again and also in that same field. But, you know, UFC and the fight world is what I like talking about. So I think that's what I'm going to go with a little more on this podcast, along with, I guess, some more business stuff. But yeah, just had some time to sit down and chat with my good buddy, and that's what we did today. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And, this podcast, obviously, if you're listening to it, it's on iTunes, Anchor, and it's also on another of other platforms like Google Play. I believe it's on Spotify as well. And then we're working on another platform for you guys as well. But the main one is iOS, right inside your phone right there. You already have an app for it. It's the podcast app. It's a little purple icon. So you can go ahead and listen to that for free, actually, if you have an iPhone and you're on iOS. But it's also free on Google Play and Spotify and Anchor. But, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed, and we will catch you later. Peace. Thank you for listening.